This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Welcome to Community News, covering the towns of Southbridge, Charlton, Sturbridge, Brimfield, Dudley, and Wales. This program is sponsored in part by the Lions Clubs of Sturbridge and Brookfield, and thanks to the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind for their ongoing support. In the next hour, we will be bringing you news from the Southbridge Evening News and the Charlton and Sturbridge Villagers. Today, we will be reading from the May 21st and May 22nd editions. This is Dave Russell. Our first story, our Bright Future awarded grant from FIFA Global Citizen Education Fund. Southbridge-based Our Bright Future has been selected as one of the first grant recipients of the FIFA Global Citizen Education Fund, an international initiative supporting education and youth opportunity through sport. Our Bright Future focuses on empowering young people and families through educational support, mentorship, wellness initiatives, and community engagement programming in the Southbridge area. Our Bright Future was among 27 grassroots organizations worldwide selected from more than 3,500 applications. Grants ranging from $50,000 to $250,000 will help expand programs serving children in underserved communities. The FIFA Global Citizen Education Fund aims to mobilize $100 million by the end of the FIFA World Cup 2026 to expand access to education and football for children around the world. To date, the fund has raised over $30 million in U.S. dollars with contributions from philanthropic foundations, leading brands and corporations, individual donors, and proceeds from ticket sales linked to major music and sporting events, including the FIFA World Cup 2025 and the upcoming FIFA World Cup 2026. The first cohort of FIFA Global Citizen Education Fund grantees reflects both the global scale of need and the opportunity for meaningful impact. Collectively, the selected organizations reach thousands of children worldwide, including in regions where fewer than 15% of students complete secondary education and poverty rates exceed 60%. These figures highlight the urgency for targeted investment. By supporting proven community-led models that combine education, sport, and local engagement, the FIFA Global Citizen Education Fund seeks to broaden access to learning, improve educational outcomes, and create pathways to opportunity for children in some of the world's most underserved communities. Football has the power to unite, inspire, and create lasting change. And through the FIFA Global Citizen Education Fund, we are putting that power into action to invest in the future of children around the world, said FIFA President Gianni Infantino. These organizations are doing extraordinary work, often in the most challenging environments, to ensure children have access to education and the life skills that football provides. Together with Global Citizen, we are committed to expanding this impact and helping many more children realize their potential. More information on the FIFA Global Citizen Education Fund and the inaugural grantees is available on globalcitizen.org/education-fund-grantees. Applications are now open for the second cycle of grants from the FIFA Global Citizen Education Fund. Organizations providing access to education and sport for children in underserved communities worldwide are invited to apply for grants ranging from $50,000 to $250,000 in U.S. dollars. Hugh Evans, co-founder and CEO of Global Citizen, commented, For children growing up in extreme poverty, access to education is not only life-changing, it's life-saving. The impact of the FIFA Global Citizen Education Fund is far-reaching, beyond the lives of young people in classrooms and on sports fields, into these communities, where their quality of life will improve and cycles of poverty will be broken. I extend heartfelt congratulations to our first grantees and gratitude for their remarkable work. We are deeply honored to play a role in an initiative of this scale and purpose, one that has the potential to transform lives and expand access to education for children around the world, said Joseph Murak III, CEO of Foundation Source. For more than 25 years, we have maintained that impactful philanthropy requires more than good intentions. Strong operational and compliance infrastructure is the cornerstone that allows generous gifts to reach those who need it most. Founding donors to the FIFA Global Citizen Education Fund include Bank of America, the official bank sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026, which also serves as the bank of record for the fund, as well as ticket sales from the FIFA Club World Cup 25 and 26 and FIFA Collect. Further pledges are expected from philanthropies, corporations, and individuals in the coming months. The non-fiduciary FIFA Global Citizen Education Fund Advisory Board includes FIFA President Gianni Infantino, Global Citizen co-founder and CEO Hugh Evans, Australian actor Hugh Jackman, U.S. businesswoman and entrepreneur Ivanka Trump, Canadian singer-songwriter The Weeknd, Colombian singer and songwriter Shakira, U.S. tennis great Serena Williams, Brazilian football legend Kaká, and co-president of Bank of America Jim DeMeurer. Half of the funds raised for the FIFA Global Citizen Education Fund will be allocated to the FIFA Football for Schools program, an initiative that advances life skills, learning, and community development through football around the world. Our next story, absentee ballots available in Southbridge. Absentee ballots are now available in the office of the town clerk and board of registrars in the town hall for the local election, which will take place on Tuesday, June 9th. Persons wishing to vote by absentee ballot must obtain an application for completion and return to the town clerk board of registrars no later than Monday, June 8th at noon. Voters may vote by absentee ballot for the following reasons: absence from town during the hours the polls are open, physical disability, and religious beliefs. Relatives may apply for absentee ballots for Southbridge residents absent from the state, residents in the armed forces or merchant marines, their spouses or dependents, and prisoners. Applicants must be registered voters of the town of Southbridge. The local election will take place on Tuesday, June 9th, with voting at precincts 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 from 7 a.m. until 8 p.m. Voters are urged to exercise their right to vote at all elections. Now this story, Chilton Earth Day cleanup nets more than 2 tons of trash. On Saturday, April 25th, approximately 150 residents participated in the annual Earth Day cleanup, collecting a total of 2.13 tons of trash. This figure exceeded last year's amount of 2.12 tons. Residents, including many young children, ventured out to clean up roads, parks, sports fields, parking lots, highways, and many other areas. Cigarette butts and nip bottles comprised the bulk of the trash, although fast food wrappers, plastic bags and bottles, glass and metal were also prevalent. Nip bottles were collected separately in clear plastic bags. Residents found approximately 5,000 nip bottles. The Chilton Earth Day Planning Group hoped this specific endeavor will encourage legislators to consider finding a visible solution to this problem. The Chilton Earth Day Planning Group handed out heavy-duty plastic bags, sturdy gloves, vests, tick prevention stickers, tick removal kits, and grabbers to residents to ensure safety while picking up trash. T-shirts, courtesy of Millennium Power, were distributed to the first 100 registrants. Seventh grader Riley Boland created the winning design. The Earth Day celebration also included a fest, which was held on the Charlton Town Common. Vendors included the Buffumville Corps of Engineers, Opakum Land Trust, Annie Mike's Honey, Keep Charlton Beautiful Committee, the Lions Club, Charlton Garden Club, Charlton Public Library, Capon Hill Nature Sanctuary, Charlton Conservation Commission, Swamp Dog Native Plant Farm, Charlton Heritage Preservation Trust, The Last Green Valley, Charlton Business Alliance, Second Chance Animal Shelter Mobile Unit, and several others. The fest also featured three food trucks, the Toasted Roasters, Susie Q Ice Cream, and Big T's Barbecue and Jerky House. The Acoustic Ruckus, formerly the Gray Whisker Pickers, and Wormtown Mugwumps provided musical entertainment. Kara Smick Photography captured the day in photos from start to finish. The Charlton Fire Department conducted a car seat clinic for parents. The Charlton Earth Day Planning Group is grateful to the Last Green Valley, which provided financial support for the event. Another story from Charlton, middle school students compete in balloon race. The annual balloon car race at Charlton Middle School was exciting and occasionally unpredictable. It was a celebration of creativity, engineering, and friendly competition for fifth grade STEM students. Guided by teacher Nancy Duchemo Garcia, students took on the challenge of designing and building balloon-powered cars while following the 8 steps of the engineering design process and applying Newton's laws of motion. Yes, science really does make things go. Using recycled materials, students were tasked with creating a car that could travel at least 24 feet in a straight line, though, as many quickly discovered, straight can be a bit of an ambitious goal for a balloon-powered vehicle. Before building, students used the PBS simulation program to test and refine their ideas, saving themselves from an early design disaster and a lot of exploding balloons and runaway balloons. Through hands-on testing, students learned how factors like air pressure, wheel size, and axle length affected performance. Some cars zoomed across the floor like rockets, while others took their time, exploring at a more scenic pace. Each trial brought new insights, and students continuously improved their designs using data, teamwork, and plenty of determination. The project culminated in a highly anticipated competition held on April 17th. Out of more than 150 determined students, only 27 advanced to the final stage in the gymnasium, officially earning bragging rights as top innovators. The finals were structured into 3 heats, with 9 students competing at a time. Each launch was filled with excitement as cars raced forward, or occasionally collided, all in pursuit of the coveted Thompson Speedway designer hats and checkered flags. From these heats, 9 standout racers advanced. Kayliana Patcher, Lily Sapansky, Avery Wen, Anna Mancini, Nora Bright, Benson Bullock, Carlos Syed, Owen Dean, and Sierra Perrick. The competition intensified as these finalists raced again, narrowing the field to the top 5. With every inch counting and the crowd cheering loudly, the gymnasium was filled with suspense and a few last-second hopes for just a little more air. The final results were 5th place, Lily Sapansky, 4th place, Avery Wen, 3rd place, Anna Mancini, 2nd place, Owen Dean, and 1st place, Carlos Syed. Congratulations to all of the incredible racers for their hard work, creativity, and perseverance, and for proving that balloon-powered engineering is harder than it looks. With an energetic audience, supportive teachers, and lots of high-flying and sometimes not-so-straight-flying cars, the event was a wonderful reminder that learning can be both fun and inspiring. by combining science, engineering, and problem-solving in a hands-on and competitive way, the balloon car race showed that success comes from experimentation, teamwork, and learning from mistakes. In the end, it wasn't just about crossing the finish line. It was about this journey, the creativity, and maybe a few balloons that had a mind of their own. Truly, a race day to remember. This is Community News from Southbridge, Sturbridge, and Charlton. It's a weekly production of the Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. Now we turn to some upcoming events in our communities. Local author Wally Hersey to present to Sturbridge Historical Society. On Thursday, May 28th, local historian and author Walter J. Hersey will give a presentation on his recently published book, To Defend All That Is Dear. This program, sponsored by the Southbridge Historical Society, will take place at 7 p.m. at the Public House in Sturbridge. Hersey's book centers on the recovery of the men who served but were never fully acknowledged, those omitted from monuments, misidentified in town histories, or lost to transcription errors in early archival work. Through meticulous cross-referencing of archival sources, Hersey has identified 186 previously overlooked soldiers connected to Sturbridge and confirmed the service-related deaths of 23 men. Many of these names have been absent from local memory for more than two centuries. Every town has missing patriots, Hersey notes, not through intention, but through the quiet erosion of memory and record-keeping over generations. This book shows how any community can find its forgotten soldiers and restore them to their rightful place in history. The book is designed by Hersey both as an historical contribution and as a practical tool for others. This is more than Sturbridge's story, Hersey notes. It's a model. Any town, from the smallest village to the largest city, can do this work and recover those who stood to defend all that is dear. Walter J. Wally Hersey is a local historian, researcher, and author based in Sturbridge. His work focuses on restoring forgotten stories through deep archival research and community engagement. He serves on several town boards and historical committees and is the author of Common Witness, Stories from a New England Town, and additional forthcoming works through Heritage Oak Press. These books will be available for sale at the presentation. This program, graciously hosted by the Public House, is free and open to the public. Also coming up, Battling Sox Music Festival to raise funds for American Cancer Society. This is from Fiskdale. Live music, barbecue, raffles, and community spirit will come together later this month as the Battling Sox Relay for Life team hosts an all-day music festival fundraiser at Highland Orchard and Pavilion in Fiskdale. The event is scheduled for Saturday, May 30th, noon to 9:30 p.m. at the Orchard and Pavilion, located at 199 Arnold Road. Organizers say the fundraiser will benefit the American Cancer Society through Relay for Life of Southern Worcester County. Admission to the Rain or Shine event is a requested $10 donation, with attendees encouraged to bring lawn chairs or blankets to enjoy a full afternoon and evening of performances. Two stages will operate throughout the day, featuring separate acoustic and full band lineups as part of a Battle of the Band style showcase. This is really about bringing community together for a good cause while celebrating local music, organizers said. People can come for a favorite performer or stay all day and experience everything. The festival will feature competitions for both acoustic performers and bands, giving local musicians a chance to perform before the crowd while supporting cancer research and patient services through the American Cancer Society. The lineup currently includes, from noon to 12:30, Emma, 12:30 to 1:30, Backseat Boogie. 1:30 to 2, Steve Robinson. 2 to 3, it's Shedding Zen. 3 to 3:30, Mama Killsmith and the unofficial T-Swift Experience. 3:30 to 4:30, it's Superchild. 4:30 to 5, FM Radio. 5 to 6, The Vig. And 6 to 6:30, Princess Pipule and the Pineapple Cowboy performing Barefoot in Margaritaville. From 6:30 to 7:30, Wonderland Mafia is featured. From 8 to 9 p.m., it's Vivi and Defunk. Organizers noted that the performance schedule remains subject to change. In addition to the music, food and refreshments will be available throughout the day. Paradise Barbecue and Catering will offer food for purchase, while Glazed Gourmet Bakery will provide desserts and sweet treats. Beer and wine will also be available through the Pavilion Bar. A raffle table featuring donated items and prizes will help raise additional funds during the event. Relay for Life events throughout the region help support cancer research, patient transportation programs, lodging assistance, advocacy efforts, and educational outreach coordinated by the American Cancer Society. It's the spring season and townwide tag sale takes on Flea Market Town. Brimfield is known worldwide as a destination for treasure hunting, but once a year the entire town turns into a second-hand shopper's paradise. Organized by Hitchcock Academy, the area's community center located in Brimfield, the 16th annual Brimfield Townwide Tag Sale will take place on Saturday, May 30th from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. All of the sales are included on a map complete with listings that describe what shoppers can find at each site, also noting any sales that will continue through Sunday. Several sales are on-site at Hitchcock, so the community center is a great place to start your shopping. The Brimfield Farmers Market is also running in the organization's parking lot that day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., so consider fueling up with kombucha and baked goods or adding some fresh farm and handcrafted goods to your day's loot. Shoppers can pick up a printed 11x17 map at Hitchcock for $2 on the day of the event and download it from Hitchcock's website the day prior. So far, listings include typical tag sale fare such as clothing, household items, toys, tools, housewares, small appliances, free garden pots, cleaning supplies, kitchen items, dishes, jewelry, holiday decor, crafts, baking, books, CDs and DVDs, baby items, furniture, pet supplies, assorted tools and tech items, and knickknacks, along with vintage and antique items. Unique items in the listings include an original Atari system, kayaks, truck boxes, Amazon mystery boxes, a 12-foot aluminum boat, tin toys, andirons, prints, baseball cards, a bamboo fly rod, a modern Glenwood Home Grand wood-burning cook stove, antique sewing machine, table saw, bench sander, and more. It's such a fun day and a unique way to foster a sense of community, says Hitchcock Executive Director Cindy Scoira. We hear often how people enjoy interacting with one another as much as they enjoy the hunt. For more information, visit www.hitchcockacademy.org. Hitchcock Academy is a community center located at 2 Brookfield Road in Brimfield, serving the community with educational, recreational, and cultural programming. Hitchcock is celebrating 70 years this year, following its 100-year history as a school. Another event coming up in our communities, Auction Acres to host 7th Annual Pioneer Valley Wine Festival. Brimfield Auction Acres, birthplace of the world-famous Brimfield Antique Shows, will host the 6th Annual Pioneer Valley Wine Festival Saturday and Sunday, June 6th and 7th, from noon to 5 p.m. 2026 marks the 7th year of the Pioneer Valley Wine and Food Festival. This exciting event brings together New England wineries, cideries, distilleries, and meaderies from across the Pioneer Valley and farmers of many sorts selling their wares. The event started in 2018 by the collaboration with farm wineries throughout New England and local farmers as well to create a festival to highlight the magnificent products Massachusetts provides, all in unison and support of Massachusetts Agricultural Department. The festival will feature local vintners and craft brewers ready to spill their secrets. Live art demonstrations, sizzling chef panels starring culinary celebs to be announced soon. Last year, celebrity guests included Brian Gibson, the youngest black jacket finalist from Fox's Hell's Kitchen, with Gordon Ramsay. We also have Jared Foreman, the culinary mastermind behind Dead Horse Hill, who brought the heat on Food Network's Beat Bobby Flay. We continue to talk about activities in Brimfield. Brimfield to mark 250th anniversary of independence. Save the date. On Saturday, June 13th, a community-wide celebration marking the 250th anniversary of our nation's freedom will take place in Brimfield. In recognition of this year's historic milestone, a full day of remembrance and celebration is planned. All are welcome to attend this day's events, which include Revolutionary War-themed cemetery tours, a ceremony at the Town Common Gazebo, a parade, and fun-filled festivities at the Brimfield Winery. The evening will close out with a spectacular fireworks display. Additional details and updates will be available through the Friends of Historic Brimfield event website, www.fohbrimfield.org. Tax-deductible donations can also be made in support of this celebration through this website, and in gratitude, donors will be recognized in the event program. Donations can also be mailed to Friends of Historic Brimfield, Post Office Box 52, Brimfield, Massachusetts, 01010, with Spirit of Brimfield in the memo. This event is currently being sponsored by the Massachusetts Army National Guard and Classic Hits 97.7 FM. If you or your company are interested in any level of corporate or business sponsorship, please visit the event website at www.fohbrimfield.org. Additional volunteers are needed for both planning and to help with activities during the event, or if you're interested in putting a float in the parade, contact Friends of Historic Brimfield at 413-239-0288 for more information. And we have more information on the Brimfield Living History Cemetery Tour. On June 13th, the 250th Committee and Brimfield's Historical Commission will co-host a Revolutionary War-themed cemetery tour at the Brimfield Cemetery located at 28 Wales Road. Guided groups will depart every 30 minutes, beginning at 10 a.m. from the Brimfield Elementary School parking lot. Along the route, narrators and costumed interpreters will present powerful stories of the Brimfield men who left home to serve in the patriot cause and the families they left behind. Stories told by actors in role include the following: James and Mary Thompson, a husband and wife duo, telling their story of pride and sacrifice and the family's concern for a certain cousin who led the patriot cause. Eudocia Janes, sharing her father William's service beginning at age 17 and the emotional court testimony he gave in detail 55 years later to secure his war pension. Joseph Hitchcock, the first English child born in Brimfield, who watched a wilderness become a town and colonies become a country. He answered the Lexington alarm, stood at the siege of Boston, and proudly sent his sons and grandsons to fight for freedom. Deacon David Morgan, from a Springfield love story to a revolutionary legacy, not to mention a family tree that stretched all the way to a Gilded Age financier. Beulah Danielson, the steady support behind her husband, General Timothy Danielson, who held the home and family together while he was away. When peace finally came, would she be there to enjoy the liberty so dearly won? The tour will also feature short stories of Captain John Sherman and his son Bezalel, Nathaniel Danielson, Abner Morgan, Christopher Ward, and the infamous General William Eaton. Members of the Brown family, the Blodgett family, and the Blashfield family will also be recognized as their graves are passed, among others. Registration for this free event is required. Space is limited. Call Sue DeBruin at 508-523-9544 to register or to learn more information. This is Community News from Southbridge, Sturbridge, and Charlton. It's a weekly production of the Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. During this hour, we're reading from the Southbridge Evening News as well as the Charlton and Sturbridge Villagers. Our next story, Dementia-Friendly Charlton hosting brunch. Dementia-Friendly Charlton will be hosting a morning brunch for those living with dementia and their care partners on June 13th from 10:30 a.m. to noon at the Charlton Federated Church, 64 Main Street in Charlton. The event will be welcoming, low-key, and flexible, recognizing that social outings can be challenging to those with a dementing illness. The meal will be buffet with self-seating and plenty of table space. To help us plan, please register your interest in attending before June 8th. Recognizing that unexpected situations may arise, cancellations can be made up to the morning of the event. To register, cancel, or for questions, phone 508-248-5550 at the Charlton Federated Church or email dementiafriendlycharlton@gmail.com. Please provide name and number of attendees. There is no cost to this event. Donations are welcome to help support our organization. Dementia Friendly Charlton is a nonprofit organization which supports individuals with dementia as well as their families and caregivers. We work to raise awareness and understanding of dementia through educational programs, community events, and encouragement of dementia-friendly businesses. Visit our site on the Town of Charlton website, townofcharlton.net, and or our Facebook page for more information. More upcoming events in our communities. Manja, Meatballs, and Murder comes to Casaubon Senior Center. The Delvina Theater Company will be presenting Manja, Meatballs, and Murder at the Casaubon Senior Center, 153 Chestnut Street, Southbridge, on Tuesday, June 16th at 1 p.m. Who Done It? An exciting live comedic interactive murder mystery performance set in Luigi's Ristorante featuring Lynn Moulton, Joseph Zamparelli, and Fran Baron in multiple roles. Come put your super sleuth on, having much fun along the way. Token prizes will be awarded. The Delvina Theater Company has been doing to-go shows for the last several years at various venues throughout the New England area. The company was founded in 1992, and prior to going on the road, performed at different locations throughout Massachusetts, most often at the Boston Center for the Arts. Delvina was nominated for 5 Independent Reviewers of New England Awards. Its production of Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf was on the Theater Mirror's best list for acting, directing, and production. Presentations of Anna Weiss and Beyond Therapy were included on Theater Mirror's best play list, and Blue Heart was placed on I'll Say's best list. Manja, Meatballs, and Murder is supported in part by a grant from the Southbridge Cultural Council, a local agency which is supported by the Massachusetts Cultural Council, a state agency. For more information, call the Senior Center at 508-764-1469. from Sturbridge. Join America 250 Parade June 27th. The Sturbridge America 250 Committee is moving forward with plans for a parade and festival on Saturday, June 27th, rain or shine. The parade will step off from the old Sturbridge Village Museum Education parking lot at 10:30 a.m., It will proceed on the OSV access road to Route 20, then to Route 131, and end at the Town Common. Bill Emmerich will emcee the parade. The parade will include marching bands, entertainers, antique cars, floats made by local businesses and area groups. Bob Briere, recognized by many as the town's historian, is the parade grand marshal. Virginia Jalbert, the town's oldest resident at 101, is the guest of honor. There is still time for businesses or groups to get involved with a float, vintage car, or marchers. Children are invited to decorate their bikes or scooters and ride in the parade. Now, helmets are required, and a parent or guardian must walk alongside their child throughout. Anyone wishing to participate can email sturbridge250@gmail.com. Following the parade, there will be a festival on the common. The festival will include historical reenactors, entertainers, patriotic music, a reading of the Declaration of Independence, a cherry pie eating contest, and other participatory activities, and food trucks. Mark your calendars for June 27th to celebrate the 250th anniversary of American independence in Sturbridge. Now we have news of a summer camp opportunity. Camp Intervention's fun, action-packed summer STEM program coming to area. Camp Intervention, a nationally recognized nonprofit summer enrichment program, is coming to the following locations. In Auburn, Auburn Middle School, the week of July 6th to the 10th. And in Uxbridge, Our Lady of the Valley Regional School, the week of June 22nd through June 26th. Regional program sponsors include Johnson Controls Foundation and Overdeck Family Foundation. A program of the National Inventors Hall of Fame in partnership with the United States Patent and Trademark Office, Camp Invention challenges children in grades K through 6 to tap into their natural curiosity and use their creativity to solve problems. Through hands-on activities, Camp Intervention promotes STEM learning, builds confidence, leadership, perseverance, and resourcefulness, and encourages entrepreneurship, all in a fun and engaging environment. Each year, the program features new curricula inspired by some of our nation's most world-changing inventors, the National Inventors Hall of Fame inductees. This year's Spark program encourages children to be confident in their ideas and explore their innovativeness through hands-on activities, including, and these are the choices, the first, Space Morphers. Kids build a DIY rocket and launch an epic mission to transform a new planet's atmosphere, terrain, and ecosystem. After a high-energy rover race to collect samples and data, they grow dazzling crystal trees and hatch a mysterious animal egg in a space lab. Another choice is Make Waves. Campers ride the waves of entrepreneurship and invention. Inspired by a surfer's journey, they create prototypes, pitch their innovative products to hook investors, and build a billboard boat to set sail and make waves in the market. Another choice, forensics. Kids sharpen their animal detective skills with capybara and a fleet of robotic capybaras. They investigate a trail of footprints, collect bits of fluffy fur, and examine suspicious splatters before forensically analyzing evidence that has a surprising twist. And there's the infringers. Campers use their invention superpowers to solve challenges in their community and around the world. They miniaturize top-secret innovations, safeguard their designs using cryptography, and protect their intellectual property from the infringers. I love that this camp lets my kids step out of the usual roles that they have at home and in school and explore different parts of themselves, said the parent of a 2025 Camp Intervention camper. At camp, my son learns to be more creative and my daughter learns to be more independent. All local Camp Invention programs are facilitated and taught by qualified educators who reside and teach in the community. Camp Invention serves 147,000 students every year and partners with more than 2,600 schools and districts across the nation. For more information or to register, visit invent.org/camp. Now the editorial from this week's Southbridge Evening News, a small town on a global stage. For generations, communities like Southbridge have understood something that large institutions sometimes overlook. Real change often begins at the local level. It starts with neighbors helping neighbors, mentors guiding young people, volunteers giving their time, and organizations quietly working behind the scenes to create opportunities where few existed before. That's why the recent recognition of Southbridge-based Our Bright Future by the FIFA Global Citizen Education Fund deserves not only congratulations, but genuine community pride. Out of more than 3,500 applications submitted worldwide, Our Bright Future was selected as one of only 27 grassroots organizations to receive funding through the International Initiative. For a small-town organization rooted right here in Southbridge, to stand alongside programs from across the globe says something important about both the quality of the work being done locally and the people behind it. Too often, conversations about small towns focus only on challenges. We hear about economic struggles, population changes, workforce shortages, or young people leaving for larger cities. Those concerns are real, but stories like this remind us that small communities are also places of innovation, compassion, and determination. Organizations like Our Bright Future succeed because they understand that helping young people requires more than simply offering programs. It means building trust. It means creating safe spaces where children and families feel seen and supported. It means recognizing that mentorship, wellness, education, and community engagement are deeply connected. What makes this recognition especially meaningful is the scale of the initiative itself. The FIFA Global Citizen Education Fund aims to mobilize $100 million worldwide to improve access to education and opportunity through sports and community engagement. The organizations selected are working in underserved areas where poverty rates remain high and educational access remains limited. Southbridge may be a small Massachusetts town, but it clearly shares many of the same challenges facing communities around the world. Ensuring children have access to support systems, opportunity, encouragement, and hope. There is also something refreshing about seeing sports connected to education and personal development rather than simply competition. Athletics have long played an important role in shaping confidence, teamwork, discipline, and resilience. Whether it's soccer, football, basketball, baseball, or simply organized recreation, sports can become a gateway to mentorship and belonging for young people who need both. The fact that international leaders recognize the Southbridge organization for doing this work should remind local residents that meaningful efforts happening close to home do not go unnoticed. Sometimes the people making the greatest difference are not making headlines every day, but they are steadily investing in children and families year after year. This recognition also reflects positively on the broader Southbridge community itself. Successful nonprofits do not operate in isolation. They rely on volunteers, donors, local partnerships, educators, parents, businesses, and residents willing to support their mission. When a local organization earns international recognition, it says something about the community that helped sustain it. In many ways, this story is larger than one grant announcement. It's a reminder that small towns are capable of producing work with global impact. The compassion, creativity, and persistence found in places like Southbridge still matter. And sometimes, the world notices. That's the editorial from this week's Southbridge Evening News. This is Community News from Southbridge, Sturbridge, and Charlton. It's a weekly production of the Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. Now we have some student news for you. Ivory Hidalgo of Southbridge, majoring in economics, was awarded a certificate in finance and banking from the College of the Holy Crosses, Carlisle, and Arthur A. Chiocca 59 Center for Business, Ethics, and Society. Launched in 2018, the Chiocca Center's mission is to foster a distinctively liberal arts approach to the study of business and its role in society. From Manchester, New Hampshire, it is with great pleasure that Southern New Hampshire University congratulates the following students on being named to the Spring 2026 President's List: Hannah Burke, Garrett Mandeville, Michelle Houghton, Loriana Greca, Caitlin Halley, Russell Sanborn, and Cameron Dagnese, all of Charlton. Anna Wasega of Sturbridge, Emma Keith of Brimfield, Kaylee Obachowski, Carol Bernardone, Alicia Lempitsky, Hannah Etheridge, Kaylee Hernandez, and Rebecca Jakes, all of Southbridge. Also from the University of Southern New Hampshire, these students achieved the Spring 2026 Dean's List: Yashira Sagastabelza and Marion Adamako of Southbridge, and Noah Jones of Sturbridge. From Cedarville, Ohio, Matthew Wilbur of Holland was named to the Dean's List at Cedarville University for Spring 2026. The recognition requires the student to obtain a 3.50 GPA or higher for the semester and carry a minimum of 12 credit hours. And from Newport, Rhode Island, Dominic Penny of Charlton was awarded an undergraduate degree during Salve Regina University's 76th commencement, held May 17th on the university's Oceanside campus. Now we turn to the Casaubon Senior Center, announcing upcoming trips. The Casaubon Senior Center of Southbridge is sponsoring these up-and-coming trips from And Away We Go Travels and Best of Times Travel. For more information, contact Jean Dupuy at jtd1154@yahoo.com or visit the Senior Center to pick up a flyer. A $25 deposit is needed at sign-up. On June 20th, the trip is to the Newport Flower Show. You'll visit the Rosecliff Mansion's gardens and lunch at the Wyndham Newport Hotel. Lunch choices are chicken, scrod, or pasta primavera. It's $129 a person. On July 19th, it's a day in Maine clam bake, short stops along the way for shopping, and a feast on Foster's New England clam bake. A chicken meal and vegetarian meal are offered. It's $119 a person. Then on August 29th, Charles River Cruise, a great two-hour cruise with lunch at the Cheesecake Factory and a trip to Quincy Market. It's $145 a person for that trip. On September 30th, Turkey Train, a turkey dinner with all the trimmings on the Winnipesaukee Scenic Railroad, $149 a person. There are no meal substitutions. November 29th, it's Holiday Jamboree at Ivory Town Playhouse. The first stop is at the Scotch Plains Tavern for lunch. Your choice of chicken, scrod, or vegetable primavera is offered. The Jamboree pays homage to the Grand Old Opry holiday music. $169 a person for a wonderful way to start the holidays. And we have one overnight trip to New York City, sponsored by Best of Times Travel. It's September 3rd and 4th, $899 for double occupancy, $1,099 for single, and $869 for triple or quad. This includes a Broadway show, 9/11 Memorial, and a trip to the Statue of Liberty and Ellis Island. Our next story, Janet Mazer Humanities Trust announces 2026 grant recipients. The Janet Mazer Humanities Trust is pleased to announce the 2026 grant recipients. Trustees make awards annually to verify tax-exempt organizations meeting the charitable purposes of the trust. The causes for which funding is considered include the restoration and preservation of historic sites, the furtherance of art and music in the schools, both public and private, public concerts with an emphasis on classical music, the improvement and growth of public libraries, the support of church work aiding the indigent, homeless, aging citizens, and needy children, beautification through planting and the preservation of park areas and cemeteries, the improvement of service and equipment at the Hubbard Regional Hospital, now affiliated with UMass Memorial, and the environmental protection of Webster Lake. For more information, visit janetmazertrust.org. Recipients locally are All Saints Academy, Church of the Reconciliation, also Dudley Chelton Regional School District, Dudley Conservation Lands Trust, Dudley Grange, number 163, Dudley Historical Commission, Friends of the Gladys E. Kelly Library, Local for Life Incorporated, Nichols College, Our Bright Future, Park Avenue Parent Teacher Organization, Pearl L. Crawford Memorial Library, Reconciliation House Incorporated, St. Anthony of Padua Church, St. Joseph School, St. Louis League of Catholic Women, St. Rock Church, Shepherd Hill Regional High School, Southern Worcester County Educational Collaborative, Town of Dudley Recreation Commission, Town of Oxford, and Webster Lake Association. We have one obituary from this week's Southbridge Evening News. G. Reed Ide III, 77, of Sturbridge, died peacefully on April 28th. Born in Springfield, Ide began his career at the Southbridge Evening News as a reporter in 1967. He went on to work at the New York Daily News and became the executive editor of The Villager in Greenwich Village in 1973. From there, he became a magazine editor at Collector Communications Incorporated in New York City. When the AIDS epidemic broke out, Ide became a special graduate admission student at the University of Massachusetts Amherst and served as co-director of what is now the Stonewall Center at the University of Massachusetts. He received a Master of Education degree in counseling in 1989 and began a second career as an AIDS educator and a service provider, serving as director of the AIDS Buddy Program in Springfield. In 1991, he became the founding director of the Hampshire County Ryan White Consortium to provide comprehensive services to people with HIV/AIDS and their families. Ide served as director of AIDS Care Hampshire County through Cooley Dickinson Hospital in Northampton for 5 years. He then moved to the Netherlands for several months. Coming home, he returned to journalism, specializing in European travel. He served as a founding editor of Passport magazine, serving the LGBT community. He also wrote 2 gay travel guides, one to Iceland and the other to Amsterdam. In retirement, he was a substitute teacher at the local junior high school for 7 years. In 2017, he undertook what he called the most life-affirming event of his life. He adopted Colin LaCroix as his son, supporting Colin's success through his education, service in the U.S. Navy, and launching into a thriving adult life and career. In addition to his son, Ide is survived by several cousins as well as a niece and nephew. Services were held at Holy Trinity Episcopal Church in Southbridge on May 14th. Next, we turn to a column that appears weekly in the Southbridge Evening News, Financial Focus, written by Trevor Nielsen. Help your graduate use credit and debit cards wisely. As your new graduate prepares to step into the next chapter of life, whether that's more education or starting a career, one of the best things you can do is help them understand how to use credit cards, debit cards, and prepaid cards wisely. They can be powerful financial tools, but without some basic knowledge, they can also lead to trouble. Here are a few things for graduates, whether from high school or graduate school, to know. Credit cards have benefits and risks. About 69% of Americans ages 18 to 29 have at least one credit card, according to the Federal Reserve. They can borrow money up to a set limit, pay it back, and borrow again, a cycle known as revolving credit. Used responsibly, credit cards can help build their credit history, cover unexpected expenses, and even earn rewards like cash back or travel discounts. On the cautionary side, if your child or grandchild doesn't pay the full balance each month, interest charges can accumulate quickly. Carrying a high balance relative to the credit limit can hurt their credit score. Perhaps most importantly, it's easy to fall into a debt cycle in which they charge more than they can pay. Interest can add up to more than original purchases cost, and they might even open new cards to cover old ones. It creates a hole that's hard to climb out of. The key message is simple. Pay off the balance monthly, pay on time, and treat the card as a convenience, not a lifeline. Debit cards can be a good option. Since debit cards draw directly from a bank account, they naturally limit overspending. But they aren't risk-free. Overdrawing the account can trigger fees, and debit cards generally offer fewer fraud protections than credit cards. Additionally, since you're spending your own money rather than borrowing, debit cards don't help build a credit score. But for a young person, a debit card can be a practical way to manage day-to-day spending. Prepaid cards can help teach the basics. Money is loaded onto the card before use, and your young adult can only spend what's already on the card. Because of this, there's no risk of debt, no credit history needed, and no bills to pay. Prepaid cards come in several forms. General-purpose reloadable cards can be used anywhere cards are accepted. Payroll cards are sometimes used by employers to distribute wages. Gift cards are another option, but they don't help build a credit history. Teach your graduate to develop good habits for each and help them build financial confidence for decades to come. This community news program is a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you would like a hard copy of our program schedule, either in large print or braille, please call 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone or iPad. I'm Dave Russell, and thank you for being a listener of Audio Journal.
This is Bird Note. Wildlife biologist Alex Troutman jokes that he was always destined to be a fisherman, but Troutman family fishing trips taught Alex to appreciate birds, too.
Growing up, I would get so enamored by the birds instead of actually trying to catch fish. Like, my spark bird was the red-tailed hawk, which I would see many times while fishing, like, soaring through the air. For me, that was like my version of a phoenix, because when the sun is shining through its red tail, it almost looks like the tail is on fire. So I would see those birds, as well as great blue herons, and they would outfish me, and then, like, I would be in a baseball game or practice and get distracted by vultures circling around and get in trouble because I'm not paying attention.
Despite his early interest in nature, Alex didn't realize he could become a wildlife conservationist until college.
because all the people growing up around me who were black or people of color that worked with animals, they were either vets or farmers.
Now, as a professional biologist and children's book author, Alex is showing a new generation of critter-curious kids that they can have a career in conservation, too. Learn more about Alex's outdoor adventures in Season 8 of Bring Birds Back, available in your favorite podcast app and on our website, birdnote.org. I'm Jazzy Johnson.
WICN Public Radio is a proud partner of Audio Journal. Audio Journal provides news, information, and entertainment to visually and print-impaired residents of central Massachusetts. Audio Journal broadcasts are made possible through the use of a portion of WICN's broadcast frequency. 90.5 WICN is Worcester's only NPR affiliate and the voice of arts and culture in central Massachusetts. Visit WICN.org for more info.
Are you a senior who is dealing with vision loss? Would you like to learn about advocacy efforts on behalf of seniors who are blind? And about support calls, where you can talk with other seniors who are also dealing with vision loss? If so, join us, the Alliance on Aging and Vision Loss, an affiliate of the American Council of the Blind. To learn more, visit our website, www.aavl.com. blind-seniors.org.